I've been wondering about who are the most powerful people in the world. Is it politicians? Soldiers? ISIS? I would like to suggest that the most powerful people in the world are infants. Little bitty tiny babies, because they can get otherwise sane and rational adults to do the craziest things. If a baby came in here right now, we would transform. We would say, oh, look at you, so sweet. And we would make cute little faces and we would try to get the babies to laugh. This room would transform if someone came in carrying an infant. Babies have power over us, power to get us to do all kinds of things, wake up in the middle of the night, change dirty diapers. I know people who have traded in their sports cars for minivans because of babies. People who have sold their vacation home to pay for in vitro fertilization. People who have emptied out their retirement accounts to pay for an adoption. These little babies are so powerful. Even before they're born, they have the power to make us move mountains. I think babies are the most powerful people in the world. But before these little bitty babies come into the world, there's a lot of preparation, a lot of patience, a lot of waiting, 9 months or so of waiting. And then comes the labor, right? The pushing, the breathing, the groaning, right? To bring this baby into life. It takes a lot of groaning to bring about new life. When I think about the scripture that Donna read for us, Paul's writings to the Christians in Rome, I think of God as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a mother in labor, as a parent pushing, groaning, because Paul said that the Spirit groans with us and that all of creation groans. And I think that's true. I think all of creation groans. I think it has been groaning for a very long time. Think about the earth. It's groaned for a long time. It groans with volcanoes and earthquakes, floods, tsunamis. The earth is groaning right now to us and at us for what we do to it, for the way that we've polluted our waters and our air. The earth is groaning. Icebergs are melting and their tears are filling up the oceans, threatening coastal regions. The earth is groaning, and maybe it always has been, and perhaps it's groaning even more so now at us. And it's not just the earth that groans. Humanity groans. We groan. If you want to have something to groan about, all you have to do is open up the newspaper or look out your window or turn on the news. There's a lot to groan about. Wars waging, and haven't they been waging for what seems like forever? There's a lot to groan about, not only wars in far-off lands, but wars in our homes. Spouses abusing one another, parents abusing children, children abusing parents. There is a lot to groan about. All the way on the other side of the world, gang rapes of women and children. It's tragic. We should groan about it, but we don't even have to look that far, for there are rapes on our own campuses. A lot to groan about in humanity. People, children dying of hunger. There's a lot to groan about. And what about the church? The earth groans. Humanity groans, and the church also has a lot to groan about. I hear people groaning all the time about nobody wants to come to church anymore. Our churches are getting smaller. There's a lot of groaning going on in the church, but it's not just about the size of our congregations. We have a lot to groan about in our history as well. The Crusades, the part we played in slavery. We have a lot to groan about in the church as well. We can groan about the lack of welcome that the LGBTQ community has received from the church. Parts of the church that have not only not welcomed them, but have condemned them, told them that God hates them. Anything but a radical welcome there. A lot for us to groan about. The earth, humanity, the church. Woohoo! Boy, I came to pump you up this morning, didn't I? Even Jesus groaned. No, he groaned to his own disciples. He said, how long do I have to be around you people? You remember that? He groaned to the religious leaders. He called them hypocrites. He groaned in the garden. Please take away this suffering if it is your will. He groaned so much. The gospel writers tell us that his tears were like blood. Now that is some groaning. He groaned from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus groaned. So I think it's okay for us to groan too. In fact, the church has a tradition. We have a church name for groaning. You know what it is. Lament. Lament. And I think we've lost that tradition, that art, that healing thing called lament. But basically, it's just groaning. If you open up the Psalms, you'll hear a lot of lamenting, a lot of groaning. So I think I'm going to just invite us to do a little groaning this morning. Okay? On the count of three, we're just going to all groan because there's just a lot to groan about. Okay? So let's just get it out. Let's lament and groan together over all of the pains and aches of the world and in our lives. Are you ready? One, two, three. Oh, that was really good. That was good. Didn't that just feel good? We are called to groan. And it is the Spirit of God that is moving within us that causes us to groan about these things. Because if we didn't groan, it would mean we didn't care. We didn't have compassion. We weren't touched. Now, there's a difference between groaning and complaining, right? The difference is this. Groaning is purposeful. That's what Paul said. Groaning has a purpose, and the purpose is to bring about new life, just like a mother in birth. She doesn't groan for no reason. She groans to bring forth that baby. And that's why we groan too. Our groaning needs to be purposeful. It should bring forth new life. So a few months ago, I let my groaning birth something. It started out, honestly, with a lot of groaning. Paul asked me to share a little bit with you about Downtown Disciples. It started out by listening to the stories of people who have been wounded by the church. And when I say the church, I mean the church with the capital C, right? The church. And these stories were just breaking my heart to hear people say how they just couldn't go to church anymore. They would say things like, oh, I was raised in the church, but you know, I just can't go back there because I'm not welcome. Because they don't love me because they think God hates me. And it's not only the LGBTQ community. Oh, here, by the way, teaching lesson. This is the question I get asked most often. What's the Q stand for? It's a great question. The Q stands for questioning or queer. Now, we used to think of queer, we thought queer was a bad word, right? You know, we don't use that word, but the gay community has reclaimed the word queer, and now that is a word of power. So LGBTQ, Q is questioning or queer. They have been hurt by the church, but they're not the only ones. There are people whose theology is too progressive for traditional church. That they don't feel welcome because of their theology, because they think about their faith in a different way. Perhaps they think about atonement in a different way than many mainline churches do. Or they think about welcome in a different way. Or they don't understand our hymns and things, and they need to experience God in different ways. So I heard these stories of people who love God and who God loves, and they miss the church. They miss that connection. They miss the family. They miss the radical welcome. And I dreamed of a faith community where everybody would feel welcome. So we just started out with just a group of folks that got together at the downtown Des Moines Social Club. And Paul and Lynn have been really supportive of this dream of mine. And we gathered for a book study, Saving Jesus from the Church. And then folks wanted to do that again. So we had another book study, and then we added another group in the mornings at Smoky Row Coffee, and now we're adding worship on Sunday nights at Mickle Center at 5 o'clock, and I invite you, here's a radical welcome, you can come worship with us too, because the region is now supporting Downtown Disciples as a new church start in the region. And if you've ever been involved in a new church start, you know that we need people to help us build up our worship. Because when you come to worship and there's only two or three people, you might not come back. So you are invited anytime to just stop in and worship with us and help us build our family. Doesn't mean you're moving your membership or becoming a member of us or any of that. It just means you're helping us build crowd control, build up some crowd so that when new people come, they don't think they're the only ones there. It was a hope. It was a dream. And the Spirit was birthing it, not only in me, but these other folks in the region who said, yeah, I want to be a part of supporting that. And in the folks who came, it was the Spirit groaning, birthing in us that birthed Downtown Disciples, an open and affirming church, an LGBTQ welcoming and affirming church that's about doing justice, loving kindness, walking humbly with all people. I think it looks a lot like Covenant Christian. Sounds a lot like what I hear about you and what you do here. Paul said that we groan, but we groan with a purpose. And Paul said that there's something even stronger, even more powerful than those little bitty babies. And you know what that something is? It's hope. It's hope. It's the most powerful thing, hope given to us by God, that it can bring forth those little bitty babies. Hope is so powerful, says Paul, but you can't see it. Because if you could see it, well, it wouldn't be hope, right? The thing is, though, you can hear hope. Do you know what hope sounds like? It sounds like groaning. It sounds like what you just did a few minutes ago. That's hope. Hope sounds like groaning. And I hear a lot of groaning in the church these days. I hear that you are contemplating becoming opening and affirming. That's hope. I hear about the exciting things you're doing, your book studies and the ministry that you do with young people, the changes, the courage that you have to try new and different things. That's hope. Now, it's going to cause some groaning. You've probably noticed that already. But groaning brings forth new life. Groaning is the work of the Spirit, as long as it's purposeful. So go ahead and groan. Go ahead and groan, because the Spirit groans with you.